Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Well, welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue talking with George Pfeiffer, and a coach that should be fairly happy right now. The Great Northwest Athletic Conference, kind of a jumble right now, and Montana State Billings making some waves as we sit at 2-2 in the GNAC following a pair of nice wins to start off the home portion of the Great Northwest Athletic Conference, topping, of course, Western Oregon on last Thursday, and then a very impressive win over Alaska Fairbanks on Saturday, 118-112 in double overtime. 2-2 in the GNAC, not bad.
Well, we're excited. I think the outside world might be more surprised than the inside world. I think these guys have a lot of some of our players, particularly some of our newer players like Hall and Bunker and Wright and Burns and those guys. I think they came into this thing with the idea that they know they're good players, and so they're not surprised about success. In fact, they're disappointed about some of the losses that we've had. So with all that being said, all we did was win two home games. And if you check this conference out, people are winning, for the most part, their home games. I think Nazarene Central, half of them have some road wins. You have to try and protect home. That's going to be a huge feat for us with Central Washington because of their talent base, their senior base, their success. So we'll have to dig deeper into the bag for a longer period of time if we hope to have success against them. But right now, back to what you said, I think we found a way to get victories in those last two games, and you got to take your hats off to these players. They've worked extremely hard, and they've showed a lot of character, I think, throughout the course of the season to date.
I want to talk about the first game first, and then we'll talk about that double overtime win over Alaska Fairbanks. Western Oregon, that first half was just phenomenal on the part of the Yellow Jackets. You were leading by 19 points at the break. I can only imagine that the Western Oregon coach, in fact, I'm not really imagining it, I saw the look on his face heading into the break. He was not a happy camper. That had to be a very interesting conversation. Everybody always asks a coach, after a game, particularly when they make a run, and they did make a run to you. They got it within six there in the second half. Everyone always asks the coach, my goodness, what did you say to these guys at the half? What about the coach on the other end? You got a 19-point lead. I don't think there's a coach in the history of college basketball that has ever said to a coach, we got a 19-point lead. We don't have to worry about it. I know that wasn't the case. What is the mentality when you go in and you got a big lead? You're coming off an impressive half. What do you say to the players?
Well, we talked about trying to put them away. We talked about, I think in some respects this team is like coaching a boxer. And that's good and that's bad. In the first half, if this was a boxing match with Western Oregon, the referee would have ended the fight. Obviously, this is basketball and not boxing. And so when we came out in the second half, our mentality is that we've knocked this guy out. Now, at halftime, we're talking to him about you play best. We play best when we have a chip on our shoulder. We play best when we feel like we have something to prove. We play best like when we're taking respect from somebody. We know that, but this group doesn't embrace that that's an ongoing occurrence. And so I think we've already taken it. We've already knocked them out. We've already done all those types of things. Now, we can be critical of the fact that we let Western Oregon back into the game, but I can tell you statistically, from an offensive standpoint, we were pretty good. I mean, these guys made a lot of baskets. They shot a real high percentage. So did we. We shot 58% in the second half and shot 56% in the first half. Now, we didn't get as many transitions because we didn't get as many stops. But in our half-court offense really is the thing that won the basketball game for us going into the second half. And our seniors, Hall and Bunker, as they should in both games this weekend, I'm really pleased with the way they're carrying themselves, the way they're performing, and the way they're making plays. And so I thought in that game when it got a little dicey, they were the ones who made the plays, as they should, to take us to the next level and get the game won for us.
Yeah, let's not forget, you know, they get within six, but then you end up winning not so much comfortably, but certainly you were able to expand that lead right then. And the rest of the game pretty much kind of hung right there. They would get some big buckets, then you guys would come right back down and get some big buckets as well. So you came up with the big plays when you needed to.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we shot a better percentage and we were better on offense than they were. You know, I thought we, you know, when Wheaton, he had a big night on Saturday. Maybe we started that fire, but I thought, you know, for the most part in the first half, he had done nothing, you know, as far as scoring and impacting the basketball game. And then I thought we got away from him and allowed him to make some baskets. And, you know, if you can just get the envision of standing next to the campfire and you're striking that wooden match and you keep throwing it on the fire until it starts, well, that's kind of what we did. We got away from him. He hit a couple baskets. And then when we tried to guard him harder, you know, the basket, you could hear the bolts popping on the rim. It had already stretched out, and he started making baskets. And they made some big baskets against us. So some of it is that people making big baskets against us, and some of it's us needing to step up and be better at the defensive end of the floor. But offensively, we've been pretty efficient, and so you have to be happy with that. We aren't turning the basketball over. We're getting a high percentage of offensive rebounds. We've got multiple people who are scoring, and we're shooting the ball well, and we're running our offense tight. And the thing I think that's really interesting about this group, we talked about in a staff meeting this week, was we can, knock on wood, and hopefully I'm not going to jinx this, but we can determine when it's time to fast break and when it's time to run set offense. And so there's an aggressiveness to, you know, the style that we're playing right now. We'll get a defensive rebound or a turnover, and we'll be right at the rim. And then we'll also go, nope, we don't have it right now, and we'll pull it back out and we'll run set. And so that's, you know, that's some real maturity on a lot of the people in our program's part.
Coming up, we'll talk about that following game, that exciting double overtime victory over Alaska Fairbanks. The Coach's Show brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurants, GM Petroleum Distributors, Ortho Montana, Jackets and Company, Farmers Insurance Group, Denny Menholt, First Interstate Bank, St. Vincent Healthcare, Alpha Graphics, Sign Pro, Rimrock Stages, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, and the Clock Tower Inn. We'll be back with the Coach's Show coming up.
At First Interstate Bank, we have the world's smallest checkbook, the First Interstate Visa Check Card. Use your check card like a check anywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Use it at gas pumps and grocery stores to make everyday errands more convenient. Or use your check card to get cash at over 130 First Interstate day and night teller ATMs across Montana and Wyoming. Best of all, it's free. There are no annual or monthly fees. It's a checkbook. It's an ATM card. It's First Interstate's check card. First Interstate Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adeblue along with George Pfeiffer. We've already talked about the victory with Western Oregon. Now the real fun one, Alaska Fairbanks. 118-112, double overtime. At the risk of falling into hyperbole, I told you before we even started, that was one of the most, if not the most exciting basketball game I've ever seen. I'm not going to talk about quality of play. I'm not even going to talk about any of that stuff right now. We'll get into that. But in terms of just being a fan's game, you know, and I know you've coached a lot of years, but that has to rank right up there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been in a lot of exciting games, obviously. That was a lot more of an exciting game for a fan than it was for a coach, because on the coach's side of it, you're trying to figure out how you're going to stop these guys. From a fan standpoint, when you have a tandem of guards who goes, you know, what it was, Hall had 36 and Bunker had 27, so you know, you do the math on that, they're at 63 points or something, and then their guards has, their two tandem have 71. You know, we talk about a boxing match, those guys are, they're going after it. And I thought that the shots that the Fairbanks guys were shooting were a lot more difficult than the shots that we were shooting. So you've got to take your hats off to that. Mo, I don't know if he shot a shot all night where his left leg wasn't parallel to the floor as he was leaning back and kicking out and shooting it. And Jenkins, who was 12 for 50-something, you know, or 48 or something like that, coming into our game from behind the arc is 8 for 16. So it was, you know, a real high-paced game. And again, I thought we showed really good character in a couple capacities. We were down big. We're down 53-42 or something like that, and we came back. And then we have two possessions at the end of regulation and in overtime where they have the ball in their hand to win the game. And as much as we could go, what were we doing defensively? When it really, really, really mattered, we stopped them. And those weren't good shots they got. I mean, one of them hit the side of the board and rolled over, and, you know, the other one was they didn't even get a shot off. Yeah, so from that standpoint, I was really pleased with the fact that we shot horribly from the free throw line. Two guys on the other team are just red hot, white hot, whatever. And we were still able to come up and dig it out and dig out the victory. So, you know, that was huge for us. That was a very huge win for us.
You just alluded to it, but I was talking to a friend the next day as I'm watching the Ravens-Pittsburgh game with him, and he says to me, he says, "Boy, it doesn't sound like a whole lot of defense was played that game." And I said, "Well, that's not really the case. If anything, I thought the defenses were, for the most part, pretty solid. They were much better than a 118-112 score would indicate. That's what I mean. The shots that were put up on both ends, and I do agree with you, you were getting better opportunities because you were running your offense very well, but Mo and Jenkins, there were times they hit three-point buckets, and from a coach's standpoint, you had said, "Well, I don't know what else I could have done there."
Well, I mean, with what they do, and there's and obviously it works for them, they do a great job of spreading the floor and letting Jenkins go one-on-one and create. And so you have some poisons you're going to pick. What are you going to allow him to do, and what are you not going to allow him to do? Well, if you watch this guy score 20-some points a game doing certain things, you're certainly going to press not to let those things happen. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, I don't remember giving up transition baskets to him. You know what I mean? During the course of the game, and I haven't really gone back and watched that video because we're so dialed into Central right now, but I don't remember them just getting transition baskets. They got him out of the half court, and they're running Mo back and forth along that baseline, and we're trying to keep him from the ball, and when he gets the ball, we're trying to climb up into him, and he just whack. Shoot the basketball at you. And Jenkins is coming down the floor and kind of, you know, left-handed Nate Archibald type of a look. And he's kind of left, right, whack, and just jumps up and sticks it in the hole. I mean, we're obviously going to go back and revisit the defensive strategy of that game, as I'm sure they're going to. But all in all, I do think they made some tough shots.
On the flip side, you did not shoot free throws well. You already mentioned that. Again, the flip side of that is you got to the free throw line a lot. You got to it very effectively, particularly during the crunch time of the game. Obviously, you'd like to nail those down, but you had to be pleased, at least from an offensive standpoint, that you were able to get folks to the free throw line.
Well, it's an unbelievable statistic that if you make more free throws than your opponent attempts, you're going to win the game. I mean, it's like 85% or 90%. And I thought we did a really good job of getting the ball inside. You know, I thought Derek and particularly Brad Hodge did it. Were very aggressive around the basket when they got the ball in there, and that helped get us to the free throw line. I think we went to the foul line 24 times in the overtime. And we really, with Burns attacking the rim and throwing the ball inside, those things allow you to get fouled. Now, I think I mumbled to one of our assistants because we did an isolation for Derek and got him the ball, and he'd missed a free throw or went 1-for-2, and then I think he went to the foul line and missed them both. And I says, "God, I don't know if I'm happy about getting to the foul line or not." But usually, you know, we had been, you know, in the last 6 or 7 or 8 games, and I think I jinxed us in the last time talking about it. I know I told our team we're shooting close to 70 now, whereas 5 games ago we were shooting, you know, 60. So, you know, anyway, that was an area where we had improved, and it kind of got contagious. Sometimes that happens. A couple guys start to miss some free throws, so this guy misses a free throw, and that guy misses a free throw. But, you know, in the end, we made plays when we had to make plays.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurants, GM Petroleum Distributors, Ortho Montana, Jackets & Company, Farmers Insurance Group, Denny Menholt, First Interstate Bank, St. Vincent Healthcare, Alpha Graphics, Sign Pro, Rimrock Stages, Stella's Kitchen & Bakery, and the Clock Tower Inn. We'll be back to talk about this week's opponents coming up next.
At First Interstate Bank, we have the world's smallest checkbook, the First Interstate Visa check card. Use your check card like a check anywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Use it at gas pumps and grocery stores to make everyday errands more convenient. Or use your check card to get cash at over 130 First Interstate day and night teller ATMs across Montana and Wyoming. Best of all, it's free. There are no annual or monthly fees. It's a checkbook. It's an ATM card. It's First Interstate's check card. First Interstate Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Jacket Coaches Show with Ken Abloh and the head coach of the men's basketball team here at Montana State Billings, George Pfeiffer. Doesn't get any easier now. You've got Central Washington, one of the elite teams in an elite conference, certainly. Central Washington, that's coming up Wednesday the 21st at 7 o'clock. Obviously, another tough challenge for you.
Well, they have a lot of parts, and they have a lot of experienced parts. A lot of people will tell you Bettinger's the best player in the conference. I've seen him when he was at Eastern and played against him when he was with Rodney Stuckey, and he was a special player at that time. He's 6'8", 6'9", 230, shoots the three, puts it on the deck, great passer, good poise, and he's a senior. The other guy that some people might say is the best player in the conference is Pennancello. Was just named Player of the Week, you know, with Mike Hall this last week. They were co-players of the week. He shoots the three, posts you up. I've known about Matt. He was just up the street at Moscow. Another Division I transfer from Eastern Washington, and he plays the four for him, but he's really a guard that has four-man abilities. He'll go in and post you up, and he's really scrappy. They shoot the three really well. They shoot well from the free throw line. There's a reason they were picked number one in our conference. I think they got all the first-place votes except for two. The end of the year last year, I think they won 11 out of 12 games, and they haven't seemed to stop that train yet. So, you know, I talk a lot about tax brackets. They're in a way high tax bracket compared to us just because of their players. They play hard. And so we're going to have to play an A. We can't play an A-minus game against them. We have to play an A-plus game to be in the game with these guys and find a way to win.
I know this is always difficult as part of the coach's show because we're often talking about more than one game, and I know right now you're really, really focused on Central Washington, and then you got Northwest Nazarene coming in Saturday again. You know, thus far you've done your job at home, so regardless of what happens against Central Washington, there's no question that Northwest Nazarene is going to be a very important game for you as well.
You're right. I probably won't talk very much about Northwest Nazarene right now. You know, what's fun for me and what's interesting is that, you know, I go way back with Spar, Greg Sparling, the coach at Central. I go way back with Hilsey, Tim Hill at Northwest Nazarene. They do a great job. Their kids will be prepared. They play hard. You know, you're going to go from, you know, Mike Tyson to Joe Frazier to George Foreman. I mean, this, you know, gauntlet of teams that we're going to play, if you are using, again, not to overuse the analogy of a boxer, we're going to step in the ring with lots of people who can swing and fight a lot of different ways. So they're all important basketball games. Right now, you know, right now we've done what we're supposed to do as far as winning home games is concerned. We're getting better. I think that's got to continue to be our theme. I think once we lose track of that and we start to get caught up with who won this and who did that, I think that's out of our control and out of our element, and I don't think we'll play as well. But as long as our guys – the thing more important than anything is I think we lead the conference in assists or right at the top of it, and our assist-to-turnover ratio is really good, and that means we're sharing the basketball. And if I'm a fan, that's what I want to come see. I want to see people who can make plays but aren't just doing it one-on-one. And that's what I think this team, knock on wood, is embraced, and that's who we have to be if we want to find success.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurant, GM Petroleum Distributors, Ortho Montana Jackets and Company, Farmers Insurance Group, Denny Menholt, First Interstate Bank, St. Vincent Healthcare, Alpha Graphics, Sign Pro, Rimrock Stages, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, and Clock Tower Inn. Best of luck to you this week, Coach.
Thank you so much.
This has been the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show with George Pfeiffer. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.